Well, we are going to head now to our Bible reading, which is the fourth part in our teaching series on Philippians. We're in the second half of Philippians 3, starting at verse 10, going through to verse 21. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his sufferings by becoming like him in his death, if somehow I may attain resurrection from the dead. Not that I've already obtained this or have already reached the goal, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it on my own, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us then who are mature be of the same mind. And if you think differently about anything, this too God will reveal to you. Only let us hold fast to what we have attained. Brothers and sisters, join me in imitating me and observe those who live according to the example you have in us. For many live as enemies of the cross of Christ, and I have often told you of them. And now I tell you even with tears, their end is destruction. Their God is the belly, and their glory is their shame. Their minds are set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and it's from there that we are expecting a saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, and he will transform the body of our humiliation so that it may be conformed to the body of his glory, by the power that also enables him to make all things subject to himself. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And our speaker this week is Helen White. And let me bring her on and let's enjoy what Helen has to share from this part of Philippians 3.
Good morning. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that these words will speak into our hearts this morning. Amen. I want to know Christ, says Paul. What a statement of intent. And what does it mean by knowing Christ? I worked in the city in a merchant bank for a while, not the most enjoyable part of my career. And in that competitive world, your contacts, who you knew, were everything. And I used to joke that if a merchant banker had sat next to a captain of industry for more than 5 minutes, he'd describe him as a bosom buddy. Well, the knowing that Paul is talking about here is a lot more than that. The Greek word used here for know implies a really close relationship. It's the same word used in the Greek translation of the Adam and Eve story, where it says that Adam knew his wife, Eve, and that she gave birth to Cain. So it's kind of know with a capital K. It's intimate, overwhelming even. It's knowing all about each other. And in an intimate relationship, we take the good with the bad, don't we? Paul says here that he wants to know Christ with all that means. The good bits, like the power of the resurrection, and the bad bits, like suffering. Paul certainly suffered for his faith. The Bible tells us that he was imprisoned and flogged, as well as suffering shipwreck. And ultimately, it's thought that he was executed for his faith. But we can't really relate that to our lives, can we? Paul was a saint. He had the road to Damascus experience and committed his life to Christ. I suspect Andrew, Susie, and Helen aren't really expecting to die for their faith, but they've also made Jesus Christ their life's work, which is great, and we're very thankful for their example and their teaching. But we're just normal people We have busy lives doing other things. That kind of commitment feels way beyond most of us. No matter how hard we try, if indeed we do try, it's tough to change, to focus on Jesus and accept all that that might bring. But Paul says that's okay, because it's about direction of travel. For all that he's already doing an amazing job, he hasn't got there yet either. He says he wants to know Christ, but he hasn't already reached that goal. But he says, "This one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining forward to what lies ahead." Actually, that's two things really, Paul, isn't it? And both of them are equally important. Let's look first at forgetting what is behind. Paul had a terrible past, one of killing and persecuting Christians before Jesus met him on the Damascus Road. And Jesus called him by his old name Saul, and he said, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" I can imagine that those words would have rung in Paul's head, and the shame and the guilt could have been completely overwhelming. Like all of us, I guess, sometimes I curl up with embarrassment at things that I've done or said. Well, nothing we've ever said or done, it comes even close to Paul's past. But he says, forget what is behind. Andrew preached earlier this year on the story of Lot's wife, who looked back at her past life and turned into a pillar of salt. She became stuck, turned to stone by her past, unable to move forward. Okay, we need to learn from our mistakes, but not dwell on them. Part of getting to know Jesus Christ is getting to trust in his love, his understanding, his forgiveness. He understands us so well because as God he created us, but as man he faced the same challenges that we do. He knows what it's like to be human. But Paul tells us here that it's not enough to forget the past. We need to strain forward to what lies ahead, to press on with excitement, enthusiasm, with energy towards the goal of knowing Christ. Why? What happens if we do press on towards what Paul calls the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus? We get the promise of resurrection. Which is great, but let's be honest, in the busyness of our everyday lives, that seems a long way off, or at least we hope it is. But Paul also says that Jesus will transform the body of our humiliation, so it may be transformed to the body of his glory. What does that mean? Are we talking about after death here? I don't think so. I'm not suggesting for one minute that I expect to have a glorious body in this life. I think it's a bit late for that. But I do think that Jesus will start to transform our humiliation. Those times when we beat ourselves up in the middle of the night. Because as we get to know him more and more, we will slowly, slowly become more like him. We'll feel and show his love, his compassion for others, and maybe also his righteous anger. After all, Jesus wasn't just about fluffy feelings. He got very angry about injustice, as we do. And as we get to know him and so become more like him, we will feel less and less the humiliation of things we get so wrong. Wouldn't that be great? So I wonder, with that idea in mind, can we say like Paul, I want to know Christ? I hope so. And if so, are we prepared to work at it? To strain forward to what lies ahead? Paul warns us about those who live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Well, I think if you're listening to this, you're probably not living as an enemy of the cross. But aren't we all in danger of our minds being set on earthly things? Being ruled by the belly, as this translation inelegantly puts it. I must admit that I got stuck round about this point when I was writing this. And instead of staying put and talking to God about it, I went off and had a cup of tea and a very nice piece of fruitcake. And while I was eating it, I thought, what am I doing? Isn't this exactly being ruled by my belly? It certainly wasn't straining towards the goal anyway. Going off for a tea isn't such a terrible crime, although the fruitcake probably wasn't a good idea. But if I'd stayed put and prayed, I'm sure God would have got me unstuck much more quickly. So how do we come to know Christ, or at least make a start on knowing him better? One of the best places to get to know him is through the Bible. Over 40 people, you're going to get so tired of us talking about this, but over 40 people have joined the Bible course that we're running at the moment, which is brilliant. So if you're not one of them, you've missed a couple of weeks, but you could still catch up. Or find a friend and commit together to following Lectio 365 or a similar Bible reading app. It's just 10 minutes a day, a lot less than many times people spend on social media. And get into the habit of regular prayer. In the best relationships, people talk to each other. So tell Jesus how you feel about things in prayer, honestly, not just what we may think he wants to hear. And then give him space to talk back. Or come to our monthly online prayer group. It's not scary as you think. You don't even have to say anything if you don't want to, but you get into the habit of praying regularly with others, even if silently. Have a word with Andrew, Susie, or me if you want to know more about it. But whatever you do, do something. Don't just come to church or the online service on a Sunday. Do something more. And if you already do something more, then do something else. And whatever it is that you do, don't forget the two things. Don't look back and strain forward towards the prize. Don't go off and have a cup of tea. Put some energy into it. You know what? It'd be so worth it. Amen.